Hello, and thanks for tuning in to this podcast recorded at Hope Lutheran Church in Toledo, Ohio. The following scripture reading and sermon were recorded during regular worship on Sunday morning. We can be found on the web at hopetoledo.net. Check us out, or better yet, check us out in person at our regular worship services. Blessings to you this day. The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated as I invite our children to come up for time with young disciples. Miss Pam. So, beloved, I want to start today with a little bit of marking of where we've been in the text, because we're jumping around. Every year we end the season of Epiphany and prepare the Sunday before Ash Wednesday with Transfiguration. And so we have the text from Transfiguration. And then the first Sunday in Lent is always Jesus' temptation. So we jump from the 8th chapter in Mark all the way back to the first chapter, the very first verses almost, of Mark. And then we come back to this week's text, which is actually the text immediately preceding the Transfiguration. So we're going kind of back and then forward, but not quite as far forward. And there's a pattern to that. And part of the reason that the pattern fits our pattern of Lent, even which causes us to jump around. And the theologian Frederick Buechner says that that when Jesus is tempted, our text from last week, he goes into the wilderness for 40 days, and that is for Jesus to use that time to figure out what it means to be Jesus. And Lent is the 40 days when we figure out what it means for us to be disciples. And Lent is our journey with Jesus to Holy Week and to the cross. That's why when we begin on Ash Wednesday, remembering our mortality, we begin talking about the disciplines of Lent, self-examination and repentance, prayer and fasting, sacrificial giving, and works of love. But in typical Markan style, everything happens quickly and Mark gets right to the point. Jesus has already turned towards the cross. Jesus is already prepared for the hard conversations, both in public and in private. And so Jesus begins his teaching today by saying that the human one will suffer many things, be killed, and be raised. Now, the NRSV translates the human one as the Son of God. It's not a bad translation, but there is a problem with it because we've begun to treat the Son of God as a title rather than a description of who Jesus is. The human one will suffer and die and be raised. And when Jesus says those words, Peter responds by taking Jesus out of the public setting and then privately rebukes Jesus, which leads to an immediate rebuke by Jesus of Peter. Again, the translators here are being very polite, using the term rebuke. It sounds like a good church word, doesn't it? Rebuke. You know what it could be translated as? Shut up. The edge to the word in the Greek has that nature to it. Peter tells Jesus to shut up, stop talking about dying, and Peter is then told to shut up by Jesus. Peter was being told something hard and tough, and Peter wants nothing to do with what he heard Jesus saying. The adult equivalent is when your children get their keys and they begin to drive and you get that first phone call that they've been involved in an auto accident, and your immediate response is, no way. You don't want to believe that they've been in an accident. And then you begin to question, are you okay? Have you been injured? And all the rest. Peter so automatically responds to the shock of what he's hearing that he tells Jesus to shut up. And the reason it's so shocking is because immediately prior to today's text, Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And you see, they had been longing and praying for Messiah, and they knew what was going to happen when the Messiah was going to come. The Messiah wasn't going to come and to suffer and be killed at the hands of others. The Messiah was to come and crush the enemy, to free God's people from the Roman oppressors, to literally be the victorious warrior king, just like David. Suffering, rejection, and death were not on the agenda for the Messiah. The agenda for the Messiah was prestige, power, dominion. It's David's throne we're after, ruling the nations with power and might. We signed up for a crown, not a cross. Beloved, Peter is blinded by his own preconceptions of what the Messiah would look like. His beliefs about the Messiah's agenda wouldn't allow him to see the Messiah's true agenda. And I think that that's something that we continue to struggle with yet today. Arrogantly, we assume we know what must be done so that even a word from Jesus himself cannot dissuade us. We come blinded by our prejudices, presuppositions, and preconceptions of the way things must be, and we have to be convinced otherwise. Jesus rebukes Peter in front of others. In fact, he calls him Satan, the tempter, and he turns to the crowd and speaks even a harsher, harder word. Anyone who wants to follow Jesus will have to take up their own cross after denying themselves and follow Jesus. Here's the hard truth. The people that heard Jesus say those words knew what the cross was. They had seen crucifixion. In fact, when Jesus was just a boy in 6 CE, Rome had crucified at one time 2,000 Galileans for insurrection. If we can be honest, you and I are more drawn to the type of Messiah Peter was wanting than we are the Messiah God sent. Martin Luther talked about this. He talked about it as a theology of glory versus a theology of the cross. The theology of glory is built on what appears to be self-evident about life and on the assumptions that the way a God is supposed to act in the world. The theology of the cross, however, is grounded in God's self-revelation in the weakness of suffering and death. That glory theology, that confirms what people want. And the theology of the cross contradicts everything that people imagine that God should be. For Luther, to know God truly is to know God revealed to us in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. It means to know God hidden in suffering. But a theology of glory prefers accomplishment to suffering, glory to the cross, wisdom to folly, and evil to good. The theology of the cross knows God only in Christ and Christ crucified. In short, simply put, the way things should be is not the way of God. God's revelation, God's self-revelation, comes under the form of the cross and thus appears to be foolishness and weakness for a world that is longing for wisdom and strength in its God. Beloved, again and again we're called to listen to Jesus and this tough teaching because you and I, we need to hear it too. We need to hear it again and again. The truth about who God is contradicts what we expect on the basis of our own feelings about divinity. The truth is that God's mercy is given to sinners, not reserved for those deemed righteous. God's strength is exposed in weakness, not displays of power, and God's wisdom is veiled in parable and paradox, not self-help maxims. God's life is disclosed in death. Thus it says that Jesus says that those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for the sake of the gospel will save it. God will not be conformed to our human expectations or desires. Again and again, we find ourselves drawn to that theology of glory because we prize success, personal fulfillment, and we shun pain and personal suffering. It would be far easier to focus on Jesus who comes and welcomes everyone and feeds and heals. Yet we're reminded as we listen to the gospel, as we journey to the cross with Jesus, that Jesus as the Messiah is the one who comes dying on a cross for our sake, and that the discipleship we're to discover in these 40 days is the way of our own cross. Amen. I invite those of you that are able to stand as we pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks for your word and for your teaching, even those that are tough and those we would rather not hear. We give thanks that your love is revealed in suffering and that your power is shown to us on the cross. Be with us in this journey to the cross for which we give thanks.